We thank all the reporters, journalists, photographers, camera persons, individuals, groups, companies, everywhere in the world for all your contributions of news that bring hope to humans and animals, thus uplifting the atmosphere of our planet. May heaven bless your noble endeavors and protect you always, especially while on duty.
Thank heaven for our beautiful world.
For the birds that soar in the immense sky.
For the precious flora that adorns our earth in an exquisite array of colors.
For the awe-inspiring and majestic sceneries.
And for all the amazing animals, our co-inhabitants,
that generously share their beauty and unconditional love.
Blessed are we to be guests on this magnificent planet.
In deep gratitude, may all creations thrive in peace and dignity
under the merciful grace and protection of our Creator.
Hello, resplendent viewers, and welcome to Noteworthy News, constructive news for a better world.
Constructive news for a peaceful world. From Los Angeles, California, USA, Supreme Master Television airs 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on 14 satellite platforms that reach hundreds of millions of households around the world. In Europe, Eurobird 1 at 28.5 degrees east, Astro 1 and Hotbird 6. In England, Wales, Scotland, Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland, Sky TV channel 835. Australia and New Zealand, Optus D2. Africa, Intersat 10K U-band and Intersat 10C band. The Middle East and Northern Africa, Eurobird 2 and Hotbird 6. Asia, Intersat 10C band, ABS, AsiaSat 5 and AsiaSat 3S. North America, Galaxy 19. Center and South America, Hispasat 1C and Intersat 805.
In addition, Supreme Master Television is available on the following 93 cable and IPTV networks, as well as 18 online video channels of live streaming and on-demand programs.
In Cameroon, Mbamenda, Channel 26 on Cameroon Cable Network Plus. In Limbe and Environ, Channel 40 on CSSAT. In Douala, Channel 56 on Vision Cable TV. In Bouê, Channel 57 on Medium Network Service, or MNS. In Kumba, Channel 23 on SIAT Kumba. In Bafou, Channel 01 on Basatcom Bafou. In Bafoussam, Channel 30 on Blendlsat. And in Adéa, Channel 37 on Ite Blessimon Acerna.
In Brazil, in São Gonçalo, Rio de Janeiro, Channel 37 on TV Costa Veja. In Chile, in Santiago, Channel 33 on Puente Alto TV and Channel 6 on Quilicura TV. In Provincia de Cordillera, Channel 35 on Provincia de Cordillera TV. And in Provincia de Linares, Channel 2 on Retiro TV.
In Colombia, in Guarandá, Sucre, Channel 28 on Guarandá TV. In Huachata, Cundinamarca, Channel 33 on Huachata TV. In Ubaté, Cundinamarca, Channel 38 on Cableba TV.
In Bogotá, in Villa Mayor and Aledaños, Channel 44 on Via Visión de Villa Mayor. In Ciudadela, Ciudad Tunal, Channel 31 on ASO Parabólica Tunal Cable Company. In Localidad Engativá, UPZ, Boyacá Real, Las Ferias, and Santa Cecilia, Channel 43 on Tele Boyacá Real Cable Company. And Channel 62 on Telemorisco Cable Company. In Candelaria La Nueva, San Francisco and Arborizadora, Channel 46 on TV Candelaria Cable Company. In Localidad 9, Chapinero Kilometro 5.5 La Calera, Channel 51 on Cima TV Cable Company. In Localidad Fontibón and Localidad Barrios Unidos, Channel 41 on Telelunidos. In Kennedy, Channel 55 on Litemar. In Zona 10, Channel 52 on Tele 10. In Nuevo Kennedy, 1, 2, and 3, Paraíso, Casablanca, 32 and 33, Urbanización, 25, 26, and 27, Channel 43 on Pacanuc. In Zona 10, Engativá, 10 Barrios, Channel 29 on Telereliquia. In Ciudad Bolívar, Channel 73 on ATV La Estancia. In Alamos Norte, Channel 68 on TV Alamos. In Achi Bolívar, Channel 29 on Achi TV. In Mahagual Sucre, Channel 32 on Mahagual TV. And in Sucre Sucre, Channel 31 on Sucre TV.
In Costa Rica, in Teleran Nuevo Arenal and La Fortuna de San Carlos, Channel 20 on Cable Arenal de Lago, SAA. In Buriscal, Mora, and Ocosta, Channel 78 on Cable Visión de Occidente. And in Puerto Jiménez, Channel 35 on Cable Corcovado.
In the Dominican Republic, in Tireo, El Río, and Las Palmas, Channel 81 on División Visión. In Constanza, Channel 81 on Telecable Mi Cabaña. In Provincia María Trinidad Sánchez, Channel 85 on TDN. In Distrito Nacional and Provincia Santo Domingo, Channel 88 Analog System and Channel 288 Digital System on Éxito Visión. In Las Matas de Farfán, Channel 31 on Matos Aguas Visas Televisión. In Santo Domingo Norte, Distrito Nacional and Santo Domingo Oeste, Channel 46 on Telecable Dominicano. In Provincia de Higüey, Channel 30 on TV Arcoiris. In Sabana de la Mar, Channel 72 on Joditel. In Monte Plata Province, Channel 25 on Cablevisión Yamasá. In San Cristóbal Province, Channel 75 on Crispel Cablevisión. And in Puerto Plata Province, Channel 29 on Telecable La Unión S.A.
In Paraguay, in Valleme, Channel 24 on Video Cable. In Encarnación, Channel 03 on Itaqua Cablevisión. In Santa Rosa del Aguaray, Channel 21 on Cablevisión. In Chore, Channel 27 on Chore Video Cable. In Santani, Channel 30 on Tapiraquai Cable Company. In Asunción, Channel 70 on TIT Cable TV. In Mingaguazú, Channel 44 on TV Cable Mingaguazú. In Hernandarias, Channel 41 on TV Cable Hernandarias. And in Ciudad del Este, Channel 66 on TV Cable Paraná.
In Formosa or Taiwan, on Channel 85 on Multimedia On Demand of Chunghwa Telecom. On Green Island, Channel 61 on Huanyu Cable. In Taipei City, Channel 112 on NetWave Cable TV. In Taipei County, Channel 95 on Mangrove Cable TV, Yongjiaola Cable TV, and GlobalView Cable TV. In Kaohsiung County, Channel 95 on Phoenix Cable TV. In Yilan County, Channel 95 on Union Cable TV. In Hualien County, Channel 106 on Dongya Cable TV and Hualien Cable TV. In Penghu County, Channel 3 on Penghu Cable TV. In Jingmen County, Channel 102 on Mingcheng Cable TV. In Taidong County, Channel 106 on Dongtai Cable TV. In Jiayi County, Channel 97 on Guosheng Cable TV. In Potsu City, Channel 90 on Dayang Cable TV. In Jiayi City, Channel 97 on CYC CATV Cable Company. In Yunlin County, Channel 108 on Jialian Cable TV and Channel 108 on Beigang Cable TV. In Tainan County, Channel 106 on Xinyong'an Cable TV. In Nantou County, Channel 108 on Zhongtou Cable TV.
In Mongolia, in Hof Province, Channel 21 on Han Altai Cable TV. In Internet City, Channel 26 on Hua Tengger Cable TV. And Channel 50 on Khmer Cable TV. In Subakhtar, Saleng Province, Channel 30 on Mini Mongol. In Darhang Ur Province, Channel 8 on Darhang Broadcasting System. In Channel 44 on Hua Cable Company. In the capital city of Ulaanbaatar, Channel 47 on Supervision, Channel 65 on Orange Cable Company, Channel 12 on MNBC Television or Mongolian Digital Broadcasting. And in Bainzar in Khan Ul District, Channel 25 on Khimor Cable TV. In Khotor, on Channel 21 through the cable provider Gunarin. In Undakhan City in Khenti Province, Channel 23 on Sampur Company. And in Sanshan City in Darnangob Province, Channel 25 on Sun Power Company.
In Thailand, in Ratchaburi Province, Channel 71 on Ratchaburi Cable TV. In Germany, in parts of Schleswig-Holstein and Hamburg on Wilhelmtel, and in Hamburg on Willytel, using channel search for Supreme Master TV. In the Netherlands, in Gouda and the surrounding area, Channel 30 on Recam Cable Network. And in Slovenia, Channel 73 on T2 Slovenia.
Supreme Master Television is also accessible online at www.suprememastertv.com with high-quality video and streaming audio broadcast, as well as live mobile TV streaming on Windows smartphones, iPhones, and Android smartphones. We have subtitles for all shows. Currently up to 42 languages are available. For your special language, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/subtitles.
In today's news, Bolivia and Cuba resumed their good relations. In technology news, a smart home developed in the United Kingdom integrates health monitoring, security concerns, and energy savings. In animal welfare news, a New Zealand champion free diver brings attention to one of the Earth's rarest dolphin species. Please stay tuned for all this and more on Supreme Master Television, your constructive global TV channel.
Today, March 17, is St. Patrick's Day, commemorating the feast day of St. Patrick, a patron saint of Ireland. Born in the late 4th century, St. Patrick is renowned for his piety. For over 1,000 years, this special day has been a time for spiritual renewal and praying for missionaries worldwide. Now, Ireland also celebrates with the exciting 4-day St. Patrick's Festival, which highlights the nation's culture and is enjoyed by over 1 million people. In addition, the holiday is observed in many other countries, including the United States, Canada, and Australia, with colorful parades. Shamrocks wearing the color green, leprechaun, and wishing others good luck are part of the fun traditions of this occasion. We wish all Irish and Irish at heart a fabulous St. Patrick's Day.
Fly-in news. A nation copes with disaster in Japan. As of Wednesday, March 16th, the official number of fatalities stood at 4,340 as fears grew for the fate of more than 9,000 listed as missing following the catastrophic 9.0 quake and resulting tsunamis that leveled entire towns to the ground. This is the highest number of natural disaster victims recorded in Japan since World War II and is still expected to rise to more than 10,000 dead, with Mayor Kamayama Hiroshi of Ishinomaki reporting that 10,000 people remain missing in his coastal city alone. With the combined efforts of the Self-Defense Force, Coast Guard, police, and firefighters resulting in 25,460 people being rescued, efforts continue to save an estimated 23,300 still stranded, some on islets near the coast.
Continued tremors and debris hampered search and rescue operations as more than 200 aftershocks of magnitude 5.0 or higher struck the Pacific coast of northeast and central Japan since Friday.
In a rare televised speech addressing the nation on Wednesday, His Imperial Majesty Emperor Akihito expressed his deep worries about the nuclear crisis and said Japan's earthquake disaster was unprecedented in scale. He also encouraged resiliency in the nation's people as he said,
"It is important that each of us shares the difficult days that lie ahead. I pray that we will all take care of each other and overcome this tragedy." He went on to address the nuclear crisis, saying, "With the help of those involved, I hope things will not get worse."
With more than 440,000 people in northeastern and central prefectures taking refuge at 2,400 shelters, some of which have yet to receive essential supplies, relief efforts have been further hindered by a lack of fuel for trucks and ambulances. Many people are without food, water, heating fuel, or other basic necessities, including medical care, with darkness falling quickly at night because there is not enough energy to use. Adding to the woes of survivors already fatigued both mentally and physically is a cold snap that caused temperatures to drop to below freezing on Wednesday morning after snows began on Tuesday night. This winter-like weather, which is forecast to continue into Friday, makes it even more difficult for rescue efforts and further dampens hopes of finding survivors while also causing health problems, especially for the vulnerable.
Adding to the major trauma of survivors is the ongoing nuclear crisis. As winds blew a cloud of nuclear radiation toward Tokyo, where the radiation levels rose up to 110 times normal levels on Tuesday, although not yet a threat to human health, residents ran to buy face masks and emergency supplies, with others rushing to depart via planes and bullet train. In addition, people have been coming to testing centers to see if they have radiation poisoning, with many relieved to learn that they do not.
On Tuesday evening, a maximum radiation level of 0.33 millisieverts per hour was registered outside the 20-kilometer radius around the Fukushima Daiichi plant that has already been evacuated, an amount equivalent to receiving 3 chest x-rays per hour, but the Japanese government said there is no immediate health threat. As radiation levels rise in Tokyo, however, the anxious public has begun to doubt government and company assurances.
Many foreign governments have advised their nationals to leave due to the power plant problems, with embassies of Iraq, Bahrain, Angola, Panama, and Austria temporarily closing or relocating away from Tokyo. The British Foreign Office also recommended that citizens in and north of Tokyo leave the area, while the U.S. Embassy in Tokyo similarly advised Americans within 80 kilometers of the Fukushima plant to move away or stay indoors.
This is a much wider area than set by the Japanese government. Likewise, Likewise, in Paris, the French government asked Air France to put its Asia-Pacific services on standby, with two planes evacuating its nationals from Tokyo's Narita International Airport to southern Japan or out of the country. French Energy Minister Eric Besson also stated that France, 80% of whose energy comes from nuclear, will from now on only sell next-generation nuclear reactors which can resist major shocks like earthquakes. The European Commission has meanwhile suggested that European Union governments check all food exports from Japan for possible contamination from radiation, with similar measures being made in India and Thailand. Officials are saying that radiation is leaking from several of the Fukushima nuclear plant's badly damaged reactors, including number 2, whose containment vessel may have been breached, number 3, which risks exposing dangerous plutonium, and number 4, which sustained the worst damage.
Following a fire and then a blast on Tuesday in the Fukushima plant's number 4 reactor that left an 8-meter hole in one of the walls, a second fire at the same reactor on Wednesday released a plume of radiation that was detected as far away as Tokyo, 240 kilometers to the south.
With radiation levels at the Fukushima plant increasing beyond levels deemed safe, Chief Cabinet Secretary Yukio Odono on Wednesday ordered the evacuation of all workers who returned later that day after radiation levels were declared safe again. The radiation spike incident also brought a further exodus of people from the area. Gregory Yasko, chairman of the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission, testified before Congress on Wednesday that all the water in the spent fuel pool at the number 4 reactor is thought to have boiled dry, exposing the fuel rods and leading to extremely high radiation levels that could affect the ability to take corrective measures. U.S. Institute for Policy Studies senior scholar and former U.S. Energy Department official Robert Alvarez further explained that voluntary heroic acts from nuclear workers may be needed, stating, "This is a situation where people may be called in to sacrifice their lives."
Meanwhile, officials in Ibaraki Prefecture, just south of Fukushima, said radiation levels were about 300 times normal levels by late morning. That afternoon, plant officials also warned that an estimated 70% of the nuclear fuel rods at the number 1 reactor had been damaged, and 33% at the number 2 reactor.
On Wednesday, European Union Energy Commissioner Günther Oettinger told a European Parliament committee that the situation at the plant was effectively out of control, warning of more catastrophe that could threaten lives in Japan. At number 3 reactor, high radiation levels are coming from the plutonium fuel rods, which are much more harmful than the plant's other uranium-fueled reactors. Although the International Atomic Energy Agency, or IAEA, said no plutonium release had been observed as of yet, if absorbed into the body, it can remain in bone marrow or the liver for years and cause cancer. On Thursday, water was dropped via helicopter at number 3 reactor after a previous attempt on Wednesday was canceled, as police used water spray vehicles to cool down number 4.
In addition, South Korea's government said it would transfer its reserves of boron to help Japan stabilize the quake-damaged nuclear reactors. The U.S. government has just sent 40 additional experts to measure radioactivity and provide other support for the nuclear crisis, while IAEA's Director General Yukiya Amano, who has urged the Japanese government to provide better information about the nuclear crisis, also arrived in Japan to be able to have first-hand knowledge of what he called a very serious situation.
Meanwhile, upon the request of French Finance Minister Christine Lagarde, a Group of Seven meeting was scheduled for finance ministers and central bankers to discuss the economic impacts of the recent disaster. With her heartfelt gratitude for the international aid, Supreme Master Qinghai had immediately pledged a $20,000 donation following the disasters, conveying her love and sorrowful prayers as she asked that our association members go bring comfort and aid to the most in need. Our association's relief teams from Japan and Formosa or Taiwan have formed two units, with one assessing needs at the hard-hit Iwate Prefecture since Wednesday, while a second unit is gathering supplies and joining the first on Friday.
Our thankfulness for the caring initiatives of all governments, organizations, and individuals around the world, as we also thank Supreme Master Qinghai for her compassionate support for the Japanese people. With deep condolences for the lives lost, we pray for the nation's resiliency, and that such devastations may be curbed by humanity's more considerate, meritorious ways.
Thank you.
Brazil floods render thousands homeless. More than 21,000 people have been evacuated due to floods in southern Brazil that claimed at least 10 lives with one person missing as of Monday, March 14th. Torrential rains over the past week have triggered floods and landslides affecting up to 60,000 Brazilians, including 12,000 in Santa Catarina State, 9,000 displaced residents of Paraná State, and people in neighboring Rio Grande do Sul State, where 8 of the fatalities were reported. Over 6,500 homes have been destroyed, and vast areas are without electricity and potable water, while firefighters are working to road travel after several national highways were blocked by mudslides.
Conveying her sympathies and prayers, Supreme Master Ching Hai requested that our nearby association members please check with local officials on what aid is needed and to go, if possible, to bring support to the most desperate. She added that emergency funds are available for urgent necessities.
We are thankful for the swift efforts of the emergency personnel as well as for Supreme Master Ching Hai's compassionate concern. May heaven bless the Brazilian people with resiliency as we pray that the balance of the ecosphere is restored through a greater benevolence toward all beings.
Supreme Master Ching Hai wants to convey this message of gratitude to all governments, organizations, and relief workers from every corner of the world. Thank you, all the international and national help that brings care and necessities to afflicted victims. Thank you, all the relief workers, for taking time and forsaking your own comfort, even traveling great distance on unfavorable roads and conditions to bring love and assistance to people in time of need. May heaven bless you abundantly for your generosity and noble sacrifice.
Citizens call for freedom across the globe. Pro-democracy protesters continued risking their safety to demand basic human rights, improved job opportunities, and representative governments for themselves and fellow citizens in countries like Albania, Bahrain, Cameroon, Hungary, Iran, Jordan, Libya, Palestine, and Syria. Tens of thousands of Palestinians rallied in Gaza and the West Bank, calling for reconciliation between the Hamas and Fatah parties to form a unity government and proceed toward an independent state. As more and more countries upgrade Palestine's diplomatic status to show recognition of her autonomy, French Foreign Minister Alain Juppé stated that if peace talks between Palestine and Israel do not progress, European Union leaders may also recognize Palestine as an independent state. In accordance with the wishes of Palestinian protesters calling for an end to the division between Hamas and Fatah parties, President Mahmoud Abbas accepts an invitation to go to Gaza and meet immediately with Hamas Party Prime Minister Ismail Haniyeh for reunification talks. President Abbas also stated he is ready to delay the formation of a new government to give the Hamas Party a chance to join.
In Egypt, progress continues in addressing citizens' demands less than 5 weeks after a peaceful protest movement began to transform the government toward a democracy. Following calls from the Coptic Christian community for protection from harm and equal treatment, a branch of the Egyptian armed forces began to rebuild a Coptic Christian church that had burned to the ground during unrest between Muslims and Christians, and pledged to bear all expenses for its restoration. On Tuesday, the Interior Ministry announced the replacement of its much-feared security agency with a new body established to serve the country while respecting the rights of citizens. Egypt was also lauded by U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton for the dramatic transition made over the past few weeks, as the Secretary of State donated $90 million in emergency economic assistance on behalf of the U.S. government, pledging continued U.S. support.
In Jordan, King Abdullah II has set a 90-day due time for a newly formed committee of government officials and minority parties to draft new laws that will facilitate fair representation for all Jordanians within a structure that includes parliamentary elections and political parties. Meanwhile, in Syria, around 40 people successfully staged the first pro-democracy march through Old Damascus, calling for improved economic opportunities and education, as well as the end of emergency law and special tribunals. The same day, Syrian Foreign Minister Walid Mualim stated the government is taking steps toward political reform, beginning with amendments to laws on municipal and legislative elections expected later this year. The following day, the number of protesters in Damascus grew to 150 as people gathered in the front of the Interior Ministry calling for the release of political prisoners, but they were dispersed by police, with 35 being arrested.
In the capital Budapest, thousands of Hungarians gathered in the largest protest since 1989 to call for changes in national media laws to ensure they cannot be used to censor free speech. And in Albania, a month after four pro-democracy protesters were killed during a march, police stood by as tens of thousands of protesters reiterated a call for early, free, and fair elections.
Following the imposition of martial law in the Kingdom of Bahrain, national troops backed by helicopters and tanks entered the Pearl Roundabout, where 500 unarmed pro-democracy protesters had been camped out, and began firing tear gas and buckshot to clear the square. Al Jazeera reports at least six people lost their lives, including two police officers who were hit by a car as people fled the scene. Saudi troops, who were in Bahrain at the request of the government, surrounded the main Salmania hospital, locking in doctors and patients as they reportedly went to find the protest organizers, with Press TV reporting that the troops left with one body and several injured persons. According to the latest media reports, Bahrain has imposed a curfew in parts of the capital from 4 p.m. to 4 a.m. According to Alubayt news agencies, 12 judges on the country's Sharia court have resigned in protest of the government's use of violence against its own people.
Press TV reports at least six members of the Shura Council, who are appointed by the monarch, similarly resigned, along with the nation's health minister, while the housing minister announced a boycott of cabinet meetings. Top Shia cleric Grand Ayatollah Ali al-Sistani and five of Bahrain's head clerics have called upon the government to stop the violence, while various news agencies have reported that Bahraini citizens are appealing to the international community for help. Across the Middle East, in countries such as Saudi Arabia, Lebanon, Kuwait, Iran, and Iraq, solidarity protests were held calling for Saudi troops to withdraw and for a stop of the use of force, according to Press TV. Saying that such means cannot substitute for negotiation toward democratic goals, U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton stated that Bahrain and other countries with military presence they were on the wrong track to employ violence, as she urged the Bahraini government to return to dialogue for a peaceful resolution. U.S. President Barack Obama also telephoned both King Abdullah of Saudi Arabia and King Hamad of Bahrain to express his deep concern over the violence, while urging maximum restraint and supporting the National Dialogue Initiative of Bahrain's Crown Prince Salman.
In Iran, the Green Wave movement had organized protests to call for an end to house arrests for minority party leaders Mir Hossein Mousavi and Mehdi Karabi, but their marches failed to materialize in the face of high presence of security forces. A local doctor in Yemen's western city of Al-Hudaydah told Reuters news agency that hundreds of armed security forces and plainclothes police used tear gas, rubber bullets, live ammunition, and bats to attack demonstrators camped in the city's main square, injuring at least 120 people.
Cote d'Ivoire or Ivory Coast, as supporters of the internationally recognized president-elect Alassane Ouattara begin to advance into neighborhoods that had been controlled by supporters of incumbent President Laurent Gbagbo, gunshots fired from a taxi at a roadblock in the capital, Abidjan, result in the death of four youths. Algerian police in the capital, Algiers, used tear gas on a group of 150 protesters who had gathered for a meeting with senior officials to demand better housing.
Al Jazeera reports that Libyan forces heading toward Benghazi began heavy bombardments of Misrata on Tuesday after shutting off water supplies and blocking communications in the city of 300,000, with several people killed.
In Ashbaya, Libya, protesters who have been enduring airstrikes and other military attacks from the government as they call for an urgent no-fly zone from the international community have begun fleeing with other citizens to the eastern city of Benghazi. Some citizens are now also fleeing from Benghazi toward neighboring Egypt as heavily armed government forces close in on the city.
Libyan state television reported Wednesday that the government now controlled the town of Ajdabiya, but Reuters news agency later reported that they are still fighting and this has not occurred, stating that he's gravely concerned by signs that the government is planning an assault on Benghazi. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon called for a ceasefire on Wednesday. U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton also stated that the situation in Libya is critical because of the government forces advancing toward the pro-democracy stronghold in Benghazi, as French President Nicolas Sarkozy urgently called upon the UN Security Council for a no-fly zone in Libya to protect the lives of the brave pro-democracy protesters. The International Committee of the Red Cross meanwhile announced that non-essential expatriate staff have been moved from Benghazi to the nearby city of Tobruk. As refugees continue fleeing the country, a ship carrying Moroccan nationals that approach Italy was blocked from entering port to refuel as Italian officials refused out of concern for the number of refugees already in the country. Moroccan ambassador to Italy, Hassan Abouyoub, reported that his government was working with Italian officials to resolve the issue.
Meanwhile, the newly appointed United Nations Special Envoy to Libya, former Jordanian Foreign Minister Abdul Ilah Khatib, arrived in the Libyan capital of Tripoli, calling for an immediate end to violence and protection of citizens.
Our sad sympathies for the loss of cherished lives as we pray for the protection of all citizens and that the conflict cease, bringing harmony, dignity, and freedom among all nations of the world.
Charlie Sheen's new show, already a hit. American film and television actor Charlie Sheen is setting out on what promises to be a most successful theater tour in April. Tickets for the original two show locations of Charlie Sheen Live in Detroit and Chicago sold out within a record 18 minutes at Ticketmaster. Following this highly popular public response, five additional tour stops have been announced in two cities in Ohio, as well as New York City, Wallingford in Connecticut, and Boston, with tickets available today. As a humanitarian gesture, Mr. Sheen is donating $1 for every ticket sold towards the earthquake relief efforts of the Red Cross. We join in applause of your successful and highly popular engagements, Mr. Charlie Sheen. May your shining star of gifted talents bring joy and delight to audiences everywhere.
Save our planet. Ancient mega drought parched Africa and Asia. New research by an international team of scientists indicates that a catastrophic drought that occurred some 15,000 years ago dramatically affected humans in ancient Africa and southern Asia and may indicate what future droughts could be like if global warming continues to worsen. Dr. Kurt Steger of Paul Smith's College, New York, USA, led the study, which analyzed sediment cores from lakes in Africa to establish ancient climate conditions in what was one of the most intense and extensive dry periods in the history of modern humans.
During the mega drought, Africa's legendary Lake Victoria and other water bodies dried up as the Nile, Congo, and other major rivers shriveled. Although the cause of this massive change in climate is not known, the scientists say that the timing could link it to an occurrence known as the Heinrich Event 1, or H1, which coincided with a huge release of icebergs and meltwater that caused regional cooling as they entered the North Atlantic Ocean, but also led to prolonged droughts in the tropics.
Our appreciation, Dr. Steger and colleagues, on the study of past climate change, which aids our understanding of the planet's current situation. May we avert such drastic impacts to all life on the planet by quickly turning to effective eco-protecting ways.
During a January 2011 video conference with Supreme Master Television staff in California, USA, Supreme Master Qinghai spoke about mega drought conditions being repeated now, along with their root cause.
As you know already from scientific news report, we have tens of thousands of people hungry due to the Amazon drought. Also such as severe, they call mega drought, usually occurs only once in many decades or centuries. Now the latest one is only several years ago, 5 years ago. Scientists say that droughts related to global warming are very different from a normal drought. They are more permanent, more severe, and irreversible. Trees die, not only the oldest one, but of all ages, even the young one, and all size. Regions most vulnerable are the U.S., Southwest, Southeast Asia, Eastern South America, Western Australia, Southern Europe, Southern Africa, and Northern Africa. And if we continue to live our lives the way most people do right now, it will get worse and worse. Karma changes so fast because we create new patterns of karma all the time, and that in turn affects the weather. And the weather affects us, of course. And all these are due to the consequences of the way we live our life. Not benevolent enough.
Save our planet. Launched by internet company Google, startup enterprise Transform is developing modules for electrical devices to reduce current conversion energy loss by up to 90%, a change that could save $40 billion across the U.S. electrical power grid alone.
Save our planet. Once thought to be a heat-tolerant crop, recent scientific tests conducted by the International Maize and Wheat Improvement Center in Mexico have shown that the vital grain maize suffers pronounced declines with prolonged exposure to temperatures above 30 degrees Celsius. Celsius, especially in combination with drought.
Save Our Planet, a study led by Germany's Potsdam Institute for Climate Impact Research, finds expanded benefits for reducing European greenhouse gas emissions even further, as millions of extra jobs could be created that would help the continent recover from economic slowdowns and increased growth.
Warning news. Sweden's National Food Administration finds that a meat processing plant may be in violation of animal welfare law upon receiving reports that a number of chickens were scalded and plucked alive during slaughter, resulting in unimaginable pain and suffering to the birds.
It's Genty the Gorilla here. I'm eating the delectable vegan way. Today, I have an animal protecting tip to share. Occasionally, a wild animal cohabitant, such as a bird or raccoon, may find her or his way into your house, garage, or storage shed. It's best to provide a way back outside for the beautiful friend by opening doors and windows. You can also contact your local wildlife care service for more specific information if needed. Thank you for your attention, and thanks for being veg and going green to save the planet. Now it's time for the World Wide Weather.
In world news, Bolivia and Cuba reaffirm their good relations. Bolivian Foreign Minister His Excellency David Choquehuanca and Cuban Foreign Minister His Excellency Bruno Rodriguez signed an agreement reiterating their dedication to maintaining secure relations. His Excellency Choquehuanca said, "This meeting and signature of agreement strengthened the good ties not only between the governments but between the people." He also thanks His Excellency Rodriguez for Cuba's support in Bolivia's health and education sectors. "Our respectful appreciation, Your Excellencies David Choquehuanca and Bruno Rodriguez, and Bolivia and Cuba, for your commitment to a future of friendship between your sun-blessed countries. May all nations enhance cooperation for a world of peace and kindness among all beings."
In technology news, a smart home integrates health monitoring, security concerns, and energy savings. Mr. Johan Siau and his team from the University of Hertfordshire School of Engineering and Technology, United Kingdom, have developed a prototype of a home which can keep track of an occupant's body temperature and pulse through a wrist-strap sensor. In addition, Interhome, as it is called, can send an alert about safety issues such as a door being left open. It also automatically becomes familiar with the resident's lifestyle to enable automatic reduction of energy consumption, such as switching lights off when not needed. The system can be accessed remotely through web browsers, smartphones, or other mobile devices. Congratulations, Mr. Johan Xiao and colleagues, on your impressive model of automated home care. We look forward to hearing of more such innovative and beneficial advancements. Coming up, a New Zealand free diver holds his breath for 4 minutes to advocate for the protection of the rare Hector's dolphin. We'll take a few moments in silent prayer for peace. Please stay tuned, we'll be right back. More befitting news when we return on Supreme Master Television.
Welcome back to Noteworthy News, refreshing news for a rejuvenated world. In animal welfare news, a champion free diver brings attention to one of the Earth's rarest dolphin species. New Zealander world record holder William Troubridge has completed Project Hector, a 101-meter dive without fins or other apparatus. It required Mr. Troubridge to hold his breath for more than 4 minutes, making him the first person to do so in the world. Mr. Troubridge is using his exceptional skills to promote appreciation of the endangered Hector's dolphin, which is endemic to New Zealand's coastal waters. The population of these amazing mammals has decreased 75% in the last 30 years, with about 7,400 remaining. Our many thanks, Mr. William Troubridge, for utilizing your remarkable talent to encourage preservation efforts of the precious Hector's dolphin. May the ocean and all marine species be safeguarded through our sustainable choices, including the earth-saving vegan diet.
Let's enjoy some humor with a joke told in Persian entitled Thickest Fog.
مه لندن غلیظ‌ترین مه دنیاست.
نه من یه جایی بودم که مه اونجا غلیظ‌تر از لندن بود.
جدی کجا بود؟
نمیتونستم ببینم کجا بود چون مه اونجا خیلی غلیظ بود.
And now a heartline from Miss Aurelia Jacobson, Canadian fine artist who was featured on Enlightening Entertainment.
Excellent and informative show. Very nice to send overseas because of subtitles in 10 languages. Aurelia Jacobson from Canada.
Beauty creating Aurelia, thank you so much for your kind note. It was an honor for us to feature you and your glorious artwork on Supreme Master Television. We wish you the best in continuing to brighten many lives with your extraordinary gift. With much love to you and all the warm-hearted people of Canada.
Do you have a heartline today? We would be delighted to hear your heartlines and stories from your area. Please send them to heartline@suprememastertv.com, the address on your screen, or visit suprememastertv.com/heartline. Thank you for spending time with us on Noteworthy News.
May we cherish all life on our lovely planet.
The world is full of good news.
The following are just a few.
Organized in part through online social media to demonstrate that ethnic and tribal differences no longer divide their peoples, Kenyans around the world join via webcast to sing the national anthem together as a sign of their unity and solidarity.
The British government announces a soon requirement for all cigarettes to be sold in plain packaging with only health warning labels as part of the country's stricter laws to deter smoking and protect public health.
A collection of around 100 petroglyphs, or drawings carved in stone, have been discovered by Emirati and Slovenian researchers on top of a mountain in Ras Al Khaimah, United Arab Emirates, that date back at least 2,000 years.
Brazilian President Dilma Rousseff announces plans to improve women's healthcare and daycare provisions for working mothers through the program Stork Network.
Municipal officials in Umm Al Quwain, United Arab Emirates, rescue about 700 migratory birds that had been illegally captured to sell for profit, soon freeing them in their natural marine habitat.
U.S. President Barack Obama calls for reforms to reduce the country's dependence on oil as he pledges to work on stabilizing fuel prices.
Saudi novelist and author of The Dove's Necklace, Raja Lem becomes the first woman to win the International Prize for Arabic Fiction, joined by co-honoree Moroccan poet and writer Mohamed Achari, making this the first time the accolade has been given to two people.
Kuwaiti Deputy Prime Minister and Foreign Minister Sheikh Dr. Mohammed Sabah Al Salem Al Sabah and Ecuadorian Minister of Foreign Affairs Ricardo Patiño sign an agreement to formally establish bilateral consultations between their countries.
European Union Humanitarian Aid Commissioner Kristalina Georgieva announces plans to donate more funds for the education of Karen refugees living along the Thai-Burmese border for their assistance in integrating into Thai society.
The construction of the Persian Gulf Bridge, which will span a full 2.2 kilometers in length to connect Iran's Kishim Island to the mainland, is officially launched, with completion scheduled for 2014.
We thank all the reporters, journalists, photographers, camera persons, individuals, groups, companies, everywhere in the world, for all your contributions of news that bring hope to humans and animals, thus uplifting the atmosphere of our planet. May heaven bless your noble endeavors and protect you always, especially while on duty.
For more details,
please visit www.suprememastertv.com/NWN.